Now I want to ask you something. Is your name written there? Now that may not mean anything to you. I hope at the end of the lesson it will mean something to you. There's a song that we sing. I know my name is written there. And so there is a concept that we're going to develop in this lesson about a place where our name can be written down. Now let me introduce the lesson by talking about the fact that we as a society make lists, do we not? Think about how many lists that you have. In fact, I heard of some person who had so many lists, they had a list of their lists. And that may not be you, but we're so unbelievably organized in relationship to this. You know, this time of the year, they're shopping list. And by the way, make sure my name is on your Christmas list. And but there are those lists that we're making. There are those lists of chores that individuals have. Are those not called honey-do lists? And would somebody tell me, is there a honey-do list that a husband can make for his wife? I've never seen that available. But you know, we do make a list. This is what I need to accomplish. Right now, in your mind at least, you have a list of what you're going to do tomorrow. You probably have a list of what you want to accomplish this afternoon. But we are people who are make lists. And who has not heard of that list that, you know, is popular this time of the year that, you know, he's making a list and he's checking it twice. He's going to find out who's naughty and naughty or nice. I remember as a child singing that song, hearing my parents singing that song. And I'll tell you, I was a whole lot better person from December the 1st to the 25th when they started singing that song than I was January the 1st to January the 25th, you know. But there is this concept of lists. I want to ask you something. Are you aware of the fact that God has a list? It's spoken of in the Bible. In fact, it's spoken of in several places, but God has a list. And that's really what this whole lesson is about, is to remind each of us of the fact that God has a list. And we're going to look at only one of them, though there's more than one list that is indicated in the Bible. We're going to focus in on one of the lists that God has. Now, it's spoken of throughout the Bible. It's found first in when Moses talks of it in Exodus chapter 32. You might want to open up your Bible in Exodus 32 if you're not aware of the list that is there. You might want to open your Bible and just look at this list that is there. Exodus 32 is that occasion where the Israelites have come to Mount Sinai and they've built that golden calf. And the anger of the Lord is so set against those Israelites that the Lord says to Moses, if you'll just step aside, I will destroy this nation. I'm paraphrasing. I will destroy this nation and I will make of you a great, great nation. And the reality is the greatness of Moses is shown whenever he responds to this. For instead of us thinking about the Jewish people being descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the name of Moses would have been the name that would have been prominent in relationship to all of that. But look in Exodus chapter 32. In verse 32, where Moses, in his humility, says to God, yet now, if you will, forgive their sins. But if not, I pray, blot me out of your book, which you've written. Isn't that remarkable? There's a book that God has. And there are names that are in this book. And if you want to understand why Moses is one of the meekest individuals on this earth and the humility of Moses, it's found in these very words. He loved that nation so much. But he says, Lord, please forgive them. And I'm asking you, if you cannot forgive them, then go ahead and blot out my name out of that book that you've written. Now, I know there is accommodative language used in the Bible, and that an omniscient God does not literally need to have a pencil and paper and write everything down, though he may do that. But an omniscient God could always remember that. It's sort of like that husband who in a counseling situation says, every time my wife starts talking about my faults, seems like she has a list of them. You know, she doesn't need to have the list. It's just sort of written down on her heart and everything. And so God might not need to literally have a list, but in an accommodative way. Moses looked to heaven. And in heaven, there was a list. And one of the names on that list was the name Moses. And Moses pleads that God would forgive these individuals and says to them, if you cannot forgive them, then blot my name out of that book. David knew about it. While David does not use the expression book of life that is used elsewhere in this study, David does talk about the book of the living, and he's talking about his enemy in Psalms chapter 69. And I don't know if you know how to make a chain reference in your Bible, but it's really a center column reference. And beside that verse in Exodus 32, I might just write, Psalm 69, verse 27 and 28, and making just an ongoing list. We'll look at almost every time the book of life is mentioned in the Bible. If you can just remember the first time, you'd have a list of every time that is mentioned in the Bible. But David's talking about his enemies. And he's pleading that God would bring judgment on those that have wronged him. And he says, add iniquity to their iniquity and let them not come into your righteousness. Let them be blotted out of the book of the living and not written with the righteous. Evidently, he's not just talking about the fact that God has a list of everybody that's alive. That's not what is in view in reference to those who are living. But he ties righteousness to this, and we'll emphasize this in a moment. But David knew that in the mind of God, there was a book. And in that book were the names of his enemy and David's enemy. And David was pleading, God, blot out their name. Isn't that remarkable? That the first time we read of the book of life, Moses says, blot out my name. When David talks about it, he says, blot out my name. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 5, the Lord says to the church at Ephesus, and if you don't change, I'm going to blot out your name from the book of life. So as you think of this list that's in heaven, you need to understand that there are names there and there are names that used to be there. And so when we ask the question, is your name written in heaven? The question is not has it ever been on that list, but is your name written there right now? Moses knew about it and David knew about it. Even Daniel knew about it. In Daniel chapter 12, Daniel looks into the future, and it's not our purpose to discuss in detail the events of this, but Daniel chapter 12 verse 1 says, at that time Michael, the archangel, shall stand up, the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people, and there shall be a time of trouble such as was never since there was a nation, even to this time, and at that time your people shall be delivered, everyone who's found written in your book. We sing the song, I know my name is written there. Daniel knew about it. David knew about it. And Moses knew about it. You know who talks most about it? It's Jesus. Jesus sent out the 70 disciples and gave them power to cast out demons. Look in Luke chapter 10. In Luke chapter 10, the fourth time we found this book of life mentioned, they came back and they were amazed at the power the Lord had given to them. And one of the most amazing power they had was the power to cast out demons. And here they are, ordinary men who have power over demonic powers. They were amazed. They were above ordinary, or above the average man. They had the power to command satanic beings to come under their obedience. Imagine having that kind of power. And so in Luke chapter 19, chapter 10, verse 19, they said, Lord, even the demons were subject to us. And the Lord says, wait a minute. I give you power, authority to trample serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, in spite of the fact that you have power even greater than the powers of hell, here's something you ought to be even more thankful for. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. That's remarkable, isn't it? God has a list. And on that list are those who are His people. And we briefly look at Philippians chapter 4, where Paul prays those who were listed in that book. He mentions specifically those companions that he had. And he says, and I urge you, true companion, help those women who labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. And so Moses knew about it, David knew about it, Daniel knew about it, Jesus talked about it, and Paul wrote about it. And it's ironic that when you get to the book of Revelation, though it's mentioned seven times in the book of Revelation, ironic that it's seven, he's mentioned, the book of life is mentioned seven times in the book of life. It is Jesus who talks about this book of life over and over and over again. And that's why there's importance to this lesson, to recognize that in heaven there's a list. And Jesus said, it is even more wonderful to have your name written there than to have the power over Satan to command demonic spirits to come out of individuals. That's how important this list is. Let's look again at these verses and look at the nature of those individuals who are on that list. Look again at the verses that we've already noticed and talk about the character of those who are on this list. First of all, those who are on this list are those who have no sin. Look back at Exodus 32 again. Moses said, blot out me out of your book which you have written. And the Lord said to Moses, Whoever has sinned against me, I will blot out of my book. You want to talk about the character of those who are on that list, the nature of those individuals? They are those who have no sin in the eyes of God. Now we need to understand that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We need to have that appreciation of that. And so how on earth could there be that individual who has not sinned against God? It's tied directly to the fact that their sins will I remember no more. The God of heaven says, you may have sinned, but I will remember your sins no more. That's why whenever the chief of sinners became a Christian, and the chief of sinners says, I became a Christian as an example to everybody else. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15, Paul describes himself as at the top of the list of all the sinners. But when Ananias came to him, Acts chapter 22, verse 16 says, arise and be baptized and wash away your sins. Every sin that Paul had committed, every Christian that he had thrown in prison, every Christian whom he had brought about the death of them, every Christian whose death brought joy into the heart of Paul, that very day when he arose and was baptized, there was no sin left in the life of Paul. Why? Because the Lord had washed away his sins. You need to understand that when the God of heaven looks down on you right now, You need to understand that He needs to see you as one who has been washed in the blood. He needs to see you as one who walks in the light as He is in the light, and we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus cleanseth us from all sin. You need to understand that because you're walking in the light, and that means when you do wrong, you correct it. There's no sin in your life right now. The Lord looks at you and you have no sin in your life because you've been washed in His blood to become His child, and because you walk in the light and His blood continually cleanses you from sin. If you're walking in the light. Whose name's on that list? Those who, when God looks down, does not see sin in their life, because though they are sinful people, they are people who've been washed in the blood and who are walking in the light, which means they're trying to correct every mistake they've got in their lives. But look again. David describes those who are on the list as those who are righteous. Psalm 69 verse 27 says, "Let them not come into your righteousness. Let them be blotted out of the book of the living and not be written with the righteous." Who's on that list? It is those individuals who have been declared righteous by God, justified by God, pronounced as being righteous by God. But Daniel himself talks about this, and he talks about those individuals who are written in that book, your people who shall be delivered. They are those who are protected by God. Do you understand? If your name is on that book, that you are protected by God, the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous and His ears are open to their prayers. Do you understand that regardless of what's happening in your life, your name is on that list, and God looks at you different from the way He looks at any other individual on this earth who's not His child. His eyes are especially on you. His ears are especially open to your prayers. Why? Because I'm a child of God, because you're a child of God, and because those who have their name on that list are protected by God. But look again. Jesus shows that those who are on that list ought to have great joy. He says, "Blessed, do not rejoice in this." Luke chapter 10, verse 19 and 20. "Do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven." Do you understand the joy we ought to have because our name's been written in heaven? Think of some great event that is planned. And some great nobility on this earth is trying to make up his guest list of all of those who he wants to be at this particular time in his life. And then understand that the honor that you might have in seeing your name on a list like that is nothing at all like having your name written on a list that God has of all of those who are righteous, of those whose sins are covered, of those individuals who are protected by God. Oh, the joy that we ought to have that our name is on that list. And when Paul talks about those individuals on that list, he said, they are individuals who labor together. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 3, my true companion, help those women who labor with me in the gospel, with Clement also and the rest of my fellow laborers. Do you understand that having your name on that list means that you are a companion of all of the redeemed who have labored to serve the Lord? Think about that. Paul says, their name's on that list, and they are my fellow laborers, which is indicative of the fact that my name is on the list. But if the name of Paul and those who labored with him in the gospel were on that list, then does it not follow that the name of all of those who labor together, that their name is on that list? But the most important thing is the verse we have not yet looked at in detail, and that is that Jesus described those who are on that list as those individuals who escape a lake of fire. Soberly listen to Revelation chapter 20, verse 11. In this book, that is a book of things which must shortly come to pass, chapter 20 is separated from the rest of the events of this book by 1,000 years. But when that 1,000 years becomes a reality, he says, I saw a great white throne, and sitting on that throne was one from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was no place found for them, for heaven and earth. And I saw the dead. I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and the books were open. Well, what about those individuals who died? What about those individuals who are in Hades? Verse 13 says, the sea gave up the dead that were in it. And death and Hades, the unseen world, delivered up the dead that were in them. Go back to verse 12, and he says, and I saw every one of them. I saw the unseen world open up, and there was a resurrection, and everyone stood before God. And the books were open. There are 66 books by which men will be judged. But then he says, there's another book. And therein is that book of life, and it is open. The dead were judged according to their works by the things written in the books. But what about this book of life? Verse 15. Anyone not found in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. I started this lesson by asking the question, is your name written there? When you read this verse right here, you need to understand that this is not some theological concept that some individual has thought up and has tried in some philosophical way to try to figure out how to motivate individuals. These are the words of God Himself. Whoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. If the dead were to be raised right this minute, and you were to stand before God, the only thing that would matter is my name written there. Is it written there? Because if it is not written there, whoever's name was not in that book was cast into the lake of fire. And somebody says, how do I get my name on that list? Well, understanding who's written in that list, go to Hebrews chapter 12. Verse 22 and 23 says, in the earlier part of the chapter, he says, you have not come to Mount Sinai. You've not come to the place where God was on this earth and delivered the Ten Commandments. You've come to a far greater place than that. You've come to a heavenly mountain. You've come to a heavenly Jerusalem. And as he describes those of us who are Christians, unlike those who came to a physical mountain called Mount Sinai, we've come to a spiritual mountain called Mount Zion. And he says, you've come to that, to the city of the living God. You've come to the heavenly Jerusalem. You've come to an innumerable company of angels. Now watch this. You have come to the assembling of the church of the firstborn, who are registered in heaven. What's in that registry in heaven? Those who are a part of the church of the firstborn. Now remember, whoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Whose names are in the book of life? Those who are a part of the church of the firstborn, they are the ones who are registered in heaven. And we'd understand that even better if we'll go add to this verse, Acts chapter 2, verse 46, when the church of the firstborn began. When those individuals were born again on that day of water and of the Spirit, that day 3,000 of them were baptized. Acts chapter 2, verse 41. They were added unto them about 3,000 souls in that same verse. The Bible then says that they continued in the apostles' teaching. And then when you get to verse 46, it uses the word continuing again. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. They were praising God. These 3,000, these who were following the apostles' teaching, they were praising God and having favor with all the people. Now watch it. And the Lord added unto the church daily those that were being saved. You know what happened on that Pentecost day? When 3,000 individuals yielded themselves, gladly received the word and were baptized, that day they became a part of the church of the firstborn. And because they were a part of the church of the firstborn, that very day, 3,000 new names were added to that list. Moses is there. David is there. Daniel is there. The worthies of the Old Testament are there. And now we come to the time of the New Testament. And under this age, every person that day that was saved by the very action of salvation had his name enrolled in heaven. That's the church role that matters. A listing in heaven of 3,000 new names. And you could have said to that individual, is your name written there? And he said, oh yes, it was written there today. What happened today? I heard the gospel. I believed it. I repented of my sin. And I was baptized. And this very day, the Lord wrote my name down in heaven. I'm a part of the church of the firstborn because those in the church of the firstborn, their names are written in heaven. On that day, how many saved people were there that were not in the church? There wasn't a single one. How many people were in the church that were not saved? Not a single one. Every saved person became a part of the church of the firstborn. And every person who was in the church of the firstborn was saved. And so the question is, how do I become a part of the church? You need to do what they did. They became a part of the church because they understood they had to believe that Jesus was the Son of God. You understand it because of John 3:16. Whoever believes in Him should not perish. But it's not just faith. The devils believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and therefore there must be repentance. And so the Bible in Acts chapter 17 and verse 30 says, God now commands all men everywhere to repent. And when they have confessed their faith in Jesus, Romans chapter 10 verse 9 says, if you do this, you'll be saved. They were baptized and washed in the blood of Jesus. Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins. That day, 3,000 of them were cleansed by the blood of Jesus. And that very day, they were added to the family of God, to the church of God, to the kingdom of heaven. And I ask you today, is your name written in heaven? You know, you could become a Christian today We have clothing here. We have a heated baptistry here. And this very day could be the day you changed your life and says, I want to have my name written in heaven. You see, the verse says that the Lord added to the church daily those that were hearing the word. Not just the 3,000, but the next day others could have obeyed the gospel. And the day after that, and the day after that. And as every one of them obeyed the gospel, their names were added to the church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven. And while thousands and thousands of days have passed, this very day your name could be registered in heaven. Now he says to us, Revelation chapter 3 and verse 5, to those who are Christians, don't you quit. Chapter 2 verse 10, he says, be faithful unto death. And chapter 3 and verse 5 says, if you don't change, I'll blot your name out. I do not believe that, I have no way of knowing and believing, therefore, that on the day of judgment it will be done alphabetically. But what if it were? Well, you guys whose names start with A are having checking to see if your name is there, I'm all right. When you get to the B's and the C's and the D's and the E's, all of a sudden it gets closer to my last name. But let me soberly tell you, when you get to the Jenkinses, written in heaven is a name, Dan Jenkins. June the 1st was my spiritual birthday into the body of Jesus many years ago. But what if I stood there that day and if it were alphabetical and they did all of those whose first name, last name was Jenkins, first name started with an A. And those who are B's, those who are C's. And all of a sudden they got to where my name should be and it's been blotted out by God. My life and everything I would have accomplished would have been for nothing. Understand, God is not trying to wipe your name off of a list somewhere. God will do everything He can to make it possible for your name to be there that day. But if you don't have an assurance that your name is written there today, why don't you have it? And why don't you gain that assurance by coming to the front right now as together we stand and sing? Will you come?